Mamas, and thank you for listening to Always With Me, Episode 11. I'm your host, Diana Collins, and today's guest is Quinn Cashin. Quinn is a speaker, author, and educator, and an innate health counselor. She has reached hundreds of educators, students, and parents with her workshops, individual sessions, and presentations at local and international conferences. Quinn's manual, Building Natural Resilience in Young People, is becoming a promising new intervention to effectively deal with issues such as bullying, eating disorders, stress, and anxiety. Quinn has recently launched two Facebook groups, which are Parenting School and Girl Spirit, to support moms in raising vibrant, insightful, brave, empowered children, which is also known as VIBE. She is a certified counselor and educator with a master's in educational leadership. Quinn lives in Vancouver, British Columbia, and is a solo mama to her two beautiful daughters. You guys, I'm so excited to hear Quinn's story, and she's so soft-spoken. I really, truly enjoyed speaking with her. So here we go with Quinn. Enjoy. Ladies, thank you so much for listening to Always With Me. And today's guest, we have Quinn. I can't say your last name. Say that for me.
Cashin.
That's right, Cashin.
I thought it was with a C.
I like it. Your strength, and we've talked before, but your strength is such an inspiration, and I'm so excited to have you on. So you have young teens, young teen girls.
I do, yeah, 14 and 16.
Woo! I am not excited for those ages.
it's so interesting because everybody's, oh, wait for the twos, the terrible twos, and we went through the twos, and I'm like, oh, this is easy, and yeah. Three, you know, maybe it'll come later, and it didn't happen. So, and I feel the same way about now. It's when we're in the moment, we really don't, I personally haven't had that, oh my goodness, what am I going to do kind of feeling. I remember talking to one parent who actually was a school counselor. She said, oh yeah, parenting is hard work. And it's like, oh, I haven't felt like it's been hard work. So it's been a joy. Yeah.
Well, that leads into our first question is if you can share your journey through motherhood. And it sounds beautiful. So
yeah. Well, I became a mom older. My first daughter was born at 36.
Okay.
And I've enjoyed every moment of it right from the beginning of being pregnant. Didn't like how much weight I gained, but
you look great.
I came with the territory, but it was so interesting just that reflection on that time of being pregnant and looking different. But the joy of pregnancy and growing a human being was just amazing for me. And so even the birth, I had a midwife for both of my children, and I just loved that whole process. And for me, it was a spiritual experience because I walked out of that hospital after my first child was born and everything looked different. It was like, wow, new eyes. And so it's been a joy going through all of this. And both of my kids are very different.
Yeah.
However, what's hilarious about it, when they were born, they were both the same measurements and the same weight. Wow. And the midwife had never seen that even in identical twins. So, so it was pretty neat. And yet they're completely different in terms of their look, their personality, the whole thing.
So. That's amazing. Now my girls are already different and they're not even three.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I don't know if you felt this, but even in the womb, they were different.
Yeah.
And I bought a journal for my time when I was pregnant with both of them, and I chose different types of journal, and they actually, it reflects their personality now, which is
amazing. Oh, that's so cool. I love, like, now that I've been through motherhood and postpartum depression, I started to journal more. And I bought this little journal. It's a little tiny thing. Looks like a Bible. My daughter, she's so cute. My oldest, good Bible.
Oh,
like, that's cute. But it's just one, it's called One Line a Day for Mom. And you just write a little script that happened that day. And it's so easy for me because I can't write a whole paragraph. I get distracted.
Yeah, it is easy to get distracted with little ones.
Yes. So I just, at night in bed, I just write what we did and the good point about it and maybe even the hard days, and then close it and then move on for the next day. And it's, journaling is so important, I've noticed, because I want to remember those days. Do you still have that journal today? I'm sure.
Yeah. What I've done with them is I've made them into like little letters. So like I'm writing to them. So I've done that throughout the year. So even at this age, I'm writing like letters to them. So that's my kind of journaling, is writing to them so that they know what it was like for me as a mom when they were 3 or 5 or 16. So, wow. So I thought, you know, I'd love to pass that on one day to them.
Yeah. Like, are you going to pass it on when they become moms someday or maybe when they're older?
I think I might wait till they're moms. I'm not quite sure yet. When the time feels right, I'll pass it on.
You'll know it.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That's so beautiful. I love that. Gosh, I hope someone can listen and be like, you know what? I'm going to do that same thing.
Well, it keeps you in tune because, like you said, life is so busy as a mom that staying present in the moment is so hard because you're just going through your day, task after task, and just taking that quiet time to reflect is so important, because not only is it good for you to have those moments and you'll cherish them, like you said, but it role models for your kids that it's important to take quiet time, because what I'm seeing is with teenagers is they're plugged in. They're plugged into the outside world a lot. Mm-hmm. And I need to show them that it's important to plug inwards more of the time, more so than they are plugging outwards.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that if you're not doing it yourself.
I love that. And a pen and paper, that's all you need.
Well, you know, and it's so different now because there's so many ways to journal. You could use video. You can do text to yourself and create something that way.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's so many different ways that you can quote unquote journal to create that experience.
I think a lot of YouTubers also use that as their journal too.
Yes, perfect example.
Yeah. So let's see, our next question. Gosh, you're such an inspiring mom. I love it.
Thank you.
So in our last, when we spoke before this, we talked about your medical scare when your girls were very, very little, which, God bless, I'm so happy you're here to share that story. If you could share it with our listeners, that'd be great.
Yeah. It was one of those moments when your life is going along and then it feels like it goes to a dead stop and turns and goes in a different direction.
Yeah.
So it was actually in 2005 in the fall. You know, it was a Sunday night. I was getting, you know, life ready for the week ahead and making dinner. I was in the kitchen. And my youngest was 3 at the time, and she was in the family room, and I started getting blurred vision. And all of a sudden, I went weak. I collapsed to the floor, and, you know, her dad came in at that moment, and I couldn't get up. I was so weak. You know, fast forward through the hospital thing and back home again, and I was in bed for pretty almost 3 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks, and broth and herbal teas was my best friend. you know, it's amazing how your palate changes when you keep to simple foods, and that was all I, you know, could really take in at that time. But I had symptoms afterwards, and I went back to the doctors, and they did a X-ray and or CAT scan, I should say, and found a calcification in my cerebellum, which is the area of the brain that is for balance.
Okay.
And, you know, it was really interesting how time just kind of stops when that happens. And it's like, wow, well, can I still work? Can I, you know, still, you know, I was just trying to figure out my life. Like, how do I keep moving forward? And it was funny because the specialist said, well, you might want to take some time off. Yeah. You know, it wasn't computing. It wasn't all jiving together at that point. And so I went through 3 years of MRIs every 6 months, and nothing changed. It's pretty much stayed the same. And as far as the surgeon is concerned, it could be a beauty mark.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, so I thought, okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
But it's something that I have to check again just to make sure everything is cool and there's no changes. But yeah, that was a scare. It took over 2 years to recover in terms of my energy level and being able to feel like I can get back to normal life again.
Yeah. So did they have to do a biopsy, or is it just
I didn't want them to do a biopsy because if they did go in, there's a chance that they could take some good cells as well.
Wow. Okay.
And I was wanting to do things more naturally. I did a lot of homeopathy at that point as well. So I always balance the two medicines because I think it's important for the medical field. You zone into what's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternative really looks at balancing the whole body and the whole system. And so that's what I did.
That's beautiful. I'm all about that. Like just kind of meeting in the middle. I'm not, you know, I love the homeopathic side, but then we also have the medicine side and they gotta come together. So I love
that. Yeah.
You
truly have to be an advocate for our own health. And there's so many different modalities out there, and it's trying to figure out what makes the most sense and where you're finding results.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked about miracles, which I love miracles.
Me too.
If you want to share that story, but just really that, I guess that story of how you found a miracle and
yeah. Yeah. It was pretty special because, I think after one of those meetings, I came home and, you know, after dinner, it was a beautiful night. So I decided to go out for a walk. On my walk, I just asked God for a miracle because I, you know, what do I need to do to have a miracle? I remember that question. And, you know, I was listening, but nothing was coming.
Yeah.
And so when I got home, my oldest daughter, who was 5 at the time, was upstairs doing a play for her dad. And I said, what's your play about? And she said, it's about miracles. And I went, wow, like that just took me back because it wasn't something that we had been talking about at all. We weren't talking about miracles in our home at that time. So interesting for me that was what her story was about.
Yeah.
So, well, how do you get a miracle? Or, what is a miracle? Is the question I asked her. And she says, it's when God gives you a surprise.
Yeah.
And I was taken back by that because of my conversation with God just like 5 minutes before that. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of had to let it sit for me for a little bit. And then at bedtime, you know, I just love their energy. They're just bouncing around and getting ready for bed. And, you know, I'm sitting on her bed going, so, you know what you're saying about miracles and God gives you a surprise? What is it you need to do to have a surprise? And she took her little hands and she went like this. And she goes, it's when you open your mind to God.
Oh.
And it always touches me.
Gosh, I'm going to start crying now.
It's a moment. It's a moment where you hear truth,
yeah.
And there's nothing more to say when you hear truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was like that moment I felt like I was going to be okay. And yes, I still had a long way to go in terms of the healing process, but there was a deep knowing that comes with that kind of truth.
Sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry, listeners. But gosh, I love that. And it's amazing how, I don't know if you've ever heard people who are like, when they talk to God, they expect to hear God's voice. And that's not really the case. It's hearing it like in your daughter. You heard God. He answered you. He answered your prayers in that way. And what was it for me was he answered my prayers through my experience. And I remember it wasn't his voice, but it was just a feeling that I had to do this podcast and that I had to stay here on earth to help other moms. And I just love getting all spiritual because that's why I'm still here. So, and that's, a miracle that you had, but.
And the more we tap into that energy source, we can do that any moment in our lives, the moment we just had with their tears rolling, that's a truthful moment. Yeah. Just in that moment. So I think that's so important for us to see that as moms, that the more our minds are quiet, the more we see.
Yes.
The more wisdom we see in our children. They're so wise. So part of my work, I've worked with children.
Yeah.
I have another beautiful story. You want to talk about wisdom. So my work is I teach young people about their resilience, their natural resilience. And the girls know that I do this. And so when my youngest daughter was in grade 2, we were watching a movie on bullying. And it was a American Girl movie. And they're really about empowering girls. And so their messages are really powerful. And so we were watching this movie. And I was a bit concerned because I don't like to show my girls a lot of negative stuff when they're too young. But anyway, somebody had recommended this movie and I wasn't too familiar with American Girl at that point. So we watched it and afterwards she got really reflective. Like she got really quiet. And then she said, "Mom, I'd like to start a girls' club in my class."
Oh.
"I want to start a girls' club in all the grade 2s. I want to start a girls' club in all the school." It was like, okay, well, sure. Well, let's think about that. And so the next morning, I found her at the kitchen table writing out what she's going to do in this girls' club. And the first thing on the list with the sun and the clouds, which is the metaphors I use to teach about our well-being and our resilience.
Yeah.
And at the time, she had a wonderful teacher who just saw little leaders in all her children, regardless of their behavior. And so we approached her with this idea. And at the same time, I was speaking to the parent community because there's some issues in grade 1 around bullying. And so so we were talking about me coming in and doing a couple of classes. So the teacher was just amazed and she loved the idea. And we ended up doing 3 classes. There's 2 grade 1 classes and her grade 2 class. And Morgan came in and facilitated with me these 3 classes. And it was just one of those moments that was so special because she heard something inside of her that, wow, I don't want girls to feel this way.
Yeah.
And she wanted to create change. And here she is, a 7-year-old child wanting to do that. And that's been her spirit ever since. So,
I was going to ask, what is she like now that she's a teenager?
She wants to be a public speaker.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was at a conference in LA in the end of October where I was speaking. And she had no problems getting up to speak.
That's beautiful.
It was. It was such a learning experience for all of us to go to this. It was focused on redefining happiness.
Yeah.
And so she, because they've been so involved with my work, because I've been in all their classes in elementary school, that they knew what I was talking about, but they had an opportunity to meet all my colleagues from around the world and then share their story as a young person and what it was like to have this in their classrooms.
That's beautiful.
That was great.
Oh, you are raising such wonderful, wonderful girls for our society. So I like to thank you.
Oh, well, thanks. And it's been part of my mission, I think. I fell in love with the idea of beauty ever since I was a little person. And then I spent 15 years in the beauty industry. I just kept doing that. And then I was teaching courses at the same time. I was teaching self-development courses for girls. And that evolved my career, was working with girls to becoming a counselor. And then I was hired for a nonprofit organization dealing with eating disorders and developed a provincial program to go into schools to prevent eating disorders. But because the work speaks about the human spirit and strengthening this human spirit, it affected everybody in the classroom. If they're dealing with a bullying situation or if they had anxiety or depression, it was regardless of the symptom, underneath all of that is our gifts from God.
Yeah.
And all we need to do is tap into those, and our thinking gets us into trouble sometimes. And so just teaching people about that, and about the power of their mind to tap back into that resource, into that frequency, kids really get it. They
they pick things up very quickly.
Absolutely. Yes. But so the more we live in our state of well-being and resilience, then they're going to pick that up naturally.
Yes, absolutely. And I just wanted to share with you, I know it's off topic, but I think, so before we, when we were talking first, it was, I was still working, but I was working on quitting my day job. Yeah. And that was what caused my depression, was because I was kept running. Never took time for myself, never took time to be quiet and just be within. And we talked about me being on medications, postpartum depression medications. And at first I always thought, well, it's just my brain. So these past 3 weeks, I looked at my life and I am so much happier. I'm still on my medications because I don't want to go off without my doctor's or acceptance, I guess you could say. But I don't even need I feel like I don't even need it. I changed my environment. I changed my thinking, and talking to these moms were so therapeutic for me, so therapeutic for other moms, that just changing your environment and changing your thinking. And when I thought that, I thought of you, and I was like, that's exactly what she's talking about. So thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You know, it's, changing your environment is really, it came from a thought first. You know, your wisdom spoke to you and said, I need to shift this environment. I need to speak to other people. I need, you know, it's like this wisdom is always speaking to us and is always guiding us in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And when we lose sight of that is when we get into trouble. Yeah. Or, you know, even when we're having a bad day or a low mood. I mean, when I had this health scare, I was depressed and I was crying all the time. And, you know, I got to a point where I was driving to work and I was in tears and, you know, I'm not going to be the mom I wanted to be for my kids. And oh my goodness, it was just flowing. And I spoke to a dear, dear friend of mine and she says, do you think those that know about the nature of thought don't have those feelings or don't have those thoughts of the what ifs or whatever. And at that moment, it's like the light switch went on. It's like, right, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have to follow those thoughts. Those thoughts aren't going anywhere because at this very moment, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And that's all I had to hang on to, was at this very moment, even when I was going into that MRI machine for the fifth time, which, you know, that sound just overwhelms me when I think about it. I'm okay. And when I was laying there in that machine, you know, I just centered myself and tapped back into that resource that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And everything was fine. And just, you know, it's always a moment to moment thing, even through, you know, that depressing state. Just knowing underneath that state is this beautiful wisdom, this beautiful state of grace, state of wellness is always there.
Yeah, that's perfect. And it's going to help so many moms that are struggling with depression. Mm. And I tell a lot of moms that have the issue because I'm a part of a support group. And it's about finding yourself. I hear it all the time. I feel stuck. I'm always just being a mom. And it's just about changing your environment. Like, your image of your motherhood is perfect. I love it. And that's what it's about, is I know there's hard times. I know they're constantly running, feeding babies, feeding this, feeding my husband, you know, and we've got to just come back and give us that minute of time.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference. So,
and discovering who you are outside of it. You know, I always worked part-time when my kids were growing up. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where I was working 4 days, and that drove me crazy because my nanny knew more about my kids at school than I did. And I didn't like that. Yeah. I wanted to be a really engaged mom, but I also wanted to have something that was for me. Yeah. And figuring out who I am, because there'll be a time where they're not going to be dependent on me, and I need to fill that up with something else. And so that was so important to do that. So the environment you create internally is what's going to guide you outwardly in terms of your kids or your spouse or your activities that you want to do outside of that. And it's just finding out what that is for you. And yeah, I might check something out for a few months or a year, and then I might do a switch because it's just not clicking for me at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a part of life, is I can't tell you how many times I've changed. I'm going to do this. And yeah. It's just a part of life. Like, we all grow and change. So,
but, you know, and the thing that's really important about that piece is recognizing the wisdom piece. And I keep coming back to that because I find in the field of mental health right now around depression or anxiety is that they're missing that point.
Yes.
That point. They're missing that you are already healthy. You already have innate health. And it's just covered up right now. Mm-hmm. That's it. I was in a grade 5 class, and I was going through, I have a 10-week program for kids, and it's not so much me talking at them as much as creating an environment for their wisdom to come up, or their thinking, or their curiosity to come up and feel safe enough to talk about it. So one of the issues that kept coming up in that class was suicide.
That's awful.
Yeah, grade 5. So I said, well, let's talk about it. And I was talking about it from this paradigm of resilience. So what does suicide look like? What's coming up for those people that have those kinds of thoughts?
Yeah.
So we call them cloudy thoughts.
Yeah.
Those are stormy thoughts where they don't see the sun. They don't see the sun that's behind those clouds, because if you look in nature, the sun is always there, regardless of the storm that's brewing on the surface. Yes. And so when we start to see that the sun is always there, how do we get back to that? So then we start looking at, well, what if we weren't perfect? What would that look like? Would that be okay? Yes. And so it was just interesting how the feeling in the room changed because they start to see hope.
Yeah.
You know, because in those stormy clouds, sometimes you see that sun just piercing through that little tiny hole, and it's like, wow. And then it starts to expand. And I think our mental health is like that too. You know, if we get into some cloudy thinking and it gets kind of stormy, we just hold out, you know, like we do in nature. We just hold out until that sun peeks through again.
Oh, I love that. That's such a very real analogy. It makes sense. It's perfect. But, gosh, I love it.
And so, it's a language. So can I just add on to that? I'm on a roll.
No, perfect.
because I teach this to my kids when they were even 3 years old about the sun and the clouds. And because I don't need to talk about what feeling they're in, they're just having a cloudy moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have a quiet time when they're in a cloudy moment. And what's interesting is that it became part of our language as a family. So we were driving one day and somebody cut us off, and my husband got upset about that. And from the back seat was my three-year-old saying, "Dad's in his clouds." And that moment switched the whole feeling in the room, in the car. And then we started going, "Wow, I wonder where they're going. I wonder if they're heading to the hospital, or maybe they're late for a meeting, or maybe they didn't see us." Yeah. So we had all these different possibilities that could occur. That may not have, you know, we wouldn't know about. So,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing is, you know, all of our moms struggle with guilt or judgment, and it's, you don't know what that other person is going through. Like there's some times where this is probably creepy, but when I'm driving or when I'm driving around and I see a light in someone's home is on, or I see them getting ready for dinner, I think about what they're doing. I think about what they're struggling with or what their joys are. I mean, my husband thinks it's like that, and that's kind of creepy, but I don't know. It's just, it gives me a peace feeling. Like I hope that they're being joyful at this moment. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I guess the angle that I take with it is that we're all joyful.
Yeah.
And when we look through where we're not joyful, or so when I work with teachers, for an example, you know, they have a lot of those that have acting out behaviors in the classroom. It's not about looking at the behavior, but looking at that resilience, that well-being, that joy that's in that child, and speak to that piece. Because if you start speaking to that piece, it'll start to come out.
Yes.
That's what education is a drawing out of wisdom. And the more we can do that with the people that we meet, I think the better off we'll be.
I love that. That's beautiful. Oh. So you are a mother of two girls, which as am I, and I love it. What is, since they're teenagers, what is something that you want your girls to grow up and learn in life?
Well, you know, I had to think a lot about that question. And because I think every stage that we are parenting in, we want them to learn something in that stage that will get them to the next stage.
Yeah.
Like brushing their teeth on their own, or, you know, dressing on their own, or putting their things away. And so there's always a stage where we're preparing them for the next stage. And so in the first stage of their lives, we're preparing them on a physical level, getting them to learn things, to take care of their bodies and be routine and snacks and things. And then by the time they reach teenage years, we're definitely into the emotional stage. When I think of my daughters and as a woman in this world today, we need our voices to be heard. Mm-hmm. We need that beautiful inner voice to come out. I mean, if you saw Meryl Streep last night in her speech, it was phenomenal. She was speaking from her own truth. And I thought that was amazing. And our girls need to learn how to do that, because research shows that girls start to lose their self-esteem when they're about, when they're in their preteen years. You see these vibrant girls, you know, in the younger years, and then as they start to hit their teen years, they start to be not as loud. And so it's figuring out how to support them in finding their own voice, their own truth, and how to articulate that out into the world. So, so that kind of brings me into the work that I do, because I want all girls to have that experience. And so I really want them to feel their own vibe, which is being vibrant, insightful, brave, and empowered. And the more we can support our girls doing that, we're going to have an amazing world.
Yes.
Because they'll be creating change that, you know, they're just going to take what women started years ago and just, you know, full throttle into creating change and finding ways to enjoy their lives and finding ways to understand how their minds work so that they don't drop too low into, you know, depression or anxiety, and see it as just a wave that's going through at the time.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, and we're only a thought away.
Yeah.
From wisdom. We're only a thought away from joy. And when Well, one time I remember coming home from work, and it was a Friday night, and it's a 40-minute drive to get home, and I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And my oldest daughter was 5, and she was not listening. And, you know, I was trying all the 1-2-3s and all this other stuff, and nothing was working. And I could feel myself getting angry and upset with her. And I caught myself in that moment. And I thought, okay, I need to grab a cup of tea or start making dinner. Just remove myself from that energy, because yeah, it's not going in the right direction. And when I did that, I tapped back into spirit. I tapped back into God's wisdom that goes, well, you know, she doesn't normally act like this. And yeah, I wonder what she's going through that get her so upset. And when I started to see that, my upset disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I got to go back to her in a loving state of mind and connected from soul to soul. Yeah. And I think that's the difference that we need to start looking at. It's not about our role as mother and our role as daughter or adult versus child. It's about soul to soul. Mm-hmm. And when we speak to their soul, we're speaking from our soul, and there is no upset there. There is no depression there. There's no anxiety there. There's just pure love, pure acceptance, pure curiosity. Yes. How am I going to get through this moment? Yeah. And, you know, and now when I go through my bumps, I start to giggle at myself, because I know it's just a hiccup. And I'm going to get over it. My sunshine's going to come out again. It's going to warm me up, and it's going to guide me in the way that I need to be guided.
Yes.
And so I don't have to worry anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing.
And it feels so good. It feels so good. But so I like to ask every one of my mamas the same question at the end of our show. And then at the end, I have another question for you. But so what is your current struggle or current bump and your current joy? Mm-hmm.
Well, my current bump is technology.
Isn't it all of ours?
Oh, it drives me crazy. I just, you know, ask me to talk about how the mind works and, yeah, you know, mental health and the beauty of it. But don't ask me to figure out technology. Oh, my.
Ask me to record it.
It's a language that is beyond my comprehension.
Oh, I know. Just starting up my website, I'm like, ooh. It just baffled me. I'm like, okay, I need to buy what?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just a bump. You'll get through it.
I know. I've got some support. You know, when you're going through a bump, you gather your support system and what I'm finding, it's okay to be vulnerable with them. Yes. I just can't do this. It's like over, and the response has been so supportive. It's just been lovely. So it's great.
The support group is so needed no matter what stage you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And whatever format you want to take that in, where you feel that you're supported. Yeah. And my joy is simple moments. You know, I get to drive my girls to school in the morning, and I get to pick them up after school right now. Mm-hmm. And I love those moments because we get to chat about stuff. Oh, you'll never guess what happened at school today, to complete silence on the way home. Yeah. So it varies from day to day, and I really do enjoy those moments, or when we're having dinner and the laughter at the kitchen table. I really enjoy that too. I'm a single mom. Yeah. I call myself a solo mama because it's about, as much as being single mom, it's the soul of a mother, you know, that really is what connects with me and in raising my girls.
Yes. Well, you're doing a great job.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I do have my moments, let me tell you.
Absolutely. As am I and everyone else. But
yes,
to all the single moms out there who feel that they can't do this, just listen to Quinn and know that she's doing a great job. And her girls are beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
I think so.
Well, they get it from their beautiful mama as well. So, so it was great having you on the show. And I know we kind of dragged it on, but I think it was great. And my gosh, you're just going to help so many moms. But if you can tell where our listeners can find you if they want to, you know, reach out to you and be like, help me, Quinn.
Well, I have two Facebook groups. Okay. One is Girl Spirit, and that's for moms of daughters or women who hang out with girls and want some support around that, because I think the more we can teach them life skills and living well, we're preparing them for adulthood. So Girl Spirit is in Facebook, and also Parenting School. It's for moms of boys and girls, and just looking at parenting issues and parenting conversations. I'm hoping to do 7-day challenges every couple of months, just to share with you what I know so far about parenting and my experience of raising kids as much as working with kids and what they tell me. And sometimes that's helpful for parents to hear.
That's great. That's great.
And I have both of those. I have a quinncashin.com is my website. Okay. And girlspirit.ca will also be up.
Oh, perfect. So I'll make sure to link those. So ladies, if you want to reach out to Quinn, please feel free. And I'll make sure to, I'll make sure to link them up on our website, alwayswithme.org. I just love Quinn's outlook on life. It's so positive, and to be, I love how she's just always present at the moment. And that's something that we need to focus more on. We are so plugged into our technology and our phones and things like that, that we forget that we're living and that we're making memories. How many times have we said that, boy, that year have gone by so fast, and we forget everything that has happened in that year? Well, could that be because we weren't present, because we were looking at our phone the whole time? So think about that. That's something that I'm actually trying on this week, is to unplug. And I know I'm addicted to it, I'll be honest. So I've been unplugging every night for a little bit before bed and reading a book. And it's been amazing. And I also wanted to talk about one thing that Quinn has talked about, was those cloudy days and how the sun will shine. I feel like we all have our cloudy days, but the sun, believing that the sun will shine tomorrow or today even, or even a month from now, believing that it will shine gives you that hope and lets you hold on to that hope, right? It's magical. And your sun will shine, I promise you that. I know it feels dark and maybe storming right now, but the rainbow always shines, right? The rainbow always comes out. I know that's cheesy, but it's true. Anyway, guys, so I've got a few announcements. One, I'm taking donations for the podcast. As you may know, that podcasts, running a podcast costs money and it takes time. As much as I love doing this, I have truly fallen in love with this journey and this mission, I need your help. So if you want to hop on to alwayswithme.org and take a look at our donation page, if you can, anything, any amount helps, or if you can't help in that way, then spread the word. Listen, let me tell you, this show has saved me. It has saved me from my depression. It has saved me from having more suicide attempts. And if we could do that same thing to another mom out there, think of how many moms we could save. So help me out. I would appreciate it. And much love. Secondly, I have another announcement. I am also taking sponsors. So if you are a business owner, I am just starting out, so the feed right now is very small. Check out my page. I also have a sponsors page, and let me do an ad for you. I love it. I love helping out small businesses. They are my favorite because I own my own small business as well. So woot woot to all you entrepreneurs. Anyway, guys, thank you so much again for listening. And if you are listening to this today, tomorrow, a month from now, or maybe even a year from now, I hope you're having a fantastic day and know that I am always with you. God bless, and kisses to those babies. Mwah. Bye-bye.